Winston Churchill, in a book written about his life, told about when the Second World War, wasn't going well for England. They'd been driven off the beaches at Dunkirk. They were being pushed back in North Africa. Winston Churchill knew that he had to unite the country, the labor leaders, and he called them all together. And at first he said that he wanted them to picture with him a time after the war when there'd be a great celebration in Piccadilly Circus. He said, just imagine, first would come the sailors that kept the sea lanes open, kept the supplies coming into their island nation. He said, next would come the soldiers who recovered to push Rommel out of Africa and drove their way through Europe for victory. Then he said, would come the pilots that freed the skies of the Luftwaffe. And after that, he said, would come lines of sweat-soaked men with soot on their faces and dirt on their hands. And someone would cry from the crowd and say, who are you and where were you during our times of need? He said 10,000 throats would cry out. We were mining coal. We were deep in the earth with our faces to the wall. Can you imagine the emotions in that room? What he was telling them, that everyone matters, that everyone can make a difference, whether you were the heroes on the battlefield or you were the plain people in the bowels of the earth mining coal to keep the country going. No matter what their position were, they were an important part. And I feel that way today about our service to God. No matter what we do, if we stand in the front or we sit in the back, we're important to God. Let's look at Matthew chapter 25, starting in verse 31. He says, when the Son of Man comes in His glory and all the holy angels with Him, then He will sit on the throne of His glory. All the nations will be gathered before Him, and He will separate them one from another, as a shepherd divides his sheep from the goats. And He will set the sheep on His right hand and the goats on His left. Then the King will say to those on His right hand, come, you blessed of My Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Man, what a promise. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in. I was naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me. That gives me the feeling that everything that I do counts. Everything matters to God. No matter how small or insignificant we may think we are, we're important in God's army. And the Bible uses a word to describe a person like that. Repeatedly, when Jesus was asked how to please God, He always said, if you want to be great in the kingdom, you must become a servant to all. Now, what does it mean to be a servant? The servant I'm talking about is the same word we get the word deacon. That's to willingly serve, to happily serve the people. And not from a bondservant or slave where you're forced. God calls on us to happily serve Him, to take joy in the things that we do for Him. There's a big difference between happily serving the Lord and feeling drudgery because we feel we have to do it. And the fact's possible that you can be a slave to God because of you're bought by the blood of Christ, but never truly achieve being a servant to Him. Being a servant has to go far beyond just a desire to do right. It has to go far past that. It has to be a desire to serve other people so God is glorified, so He is raised up. That feeling of satisfaction that only comes from serving Him and doing it well. It's so easy to fall into a trap of our calling where we seek to serve others, but it's not in the will of God. It's because we want to glorify ourselves. And I call that dead works. Or maybe trying to buy your way into heaven. It has to come from the heart. So how do we differentiate between dead works and godly service? Well, mostly it's internal. It's where your heart's at. It's where your mind's at. It's how you approach others. There are some ways that we can look at things to see what we're doing, to judge ourselves, as I believe God would judge us in the things that we're doing. The first one is dead works draws its power from the human spirit. And godly service draws its power from the Holy Spirit. You see, you can join a church. You can join in the activities of the church. You can seek to serve others. But if your attitude isn't right, you're going to burn out. Because the human effort can only take you so far. Whatever your ministry, say a teacher, and you're trying to do it on your own, and not with the help of the Holy Spirit, and all of a sudden the worldly things start to drain on your life. And we all know where that is and what it is. Parents, if you had kids in school, you know the drain that comes from the outside, the demands of school, of family. And all of a sudden that starts to drain your energy and it slows you down. And all of a sudden you're putting off your Sunday school class, your lessons until maybe the day of church. And you're just trying to wing it because you're just too tired during the week to prepare. That's trying to do it on human strength. Now, if you're called into a position and you rely on the Holy Spirit, you're going to be refreshed every time you open that Bible, every time you pray, and it'll push back the things of the world because God will be inspiring you. He will be strengthening you to prepare your lessons, to pray for your classes, to lift them up, and to plan ahead. Leaders, if we're pulled along by the Holy Spirit, if we're powered, we'll be looking for new opportunities instead of just trying to get along. Your service to God should always be pushed to the forefront. The second one is dead works is impressed with position and rank, and godly service finds it impossible to distinguish between the two. And this is simply, there's no important job in the eyes of God. They're all important. If you preach, if you teach, or if you sweep the floors, everything should be done with that attitude of furthering the kingdom of God. As one said, that most people want to serve, but only in an advisory position. And that's true so much of the time. People have to be willing to lend a hand, even if it's not my job. We have to be willing and open. Dead works requires external rewards, and godly service rests on hiddenness. We all know how this is. Sometimes we're looking for that pat on the back, that little bonus in our paycheck sometimes, where godly service is done in secret. Matthew chapter 6, verse 1 through 4 says, "Take heed that you do not do your charitable deeds before men to be seen by them. Otherwise, you have no reward from your Father in heaven. Therefore, when you do a charitable deed, do not sound a trumpet before you as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have glory from men. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. But when you do a charitable deed, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, that your charitable deed may be in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will himself reward you openly." And then skip on down to Matthew 6:19 that says, "Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." There's two types of rewards in these passages. The first one's in verse 4, where it says, "Your Father who sees in secret will himself reward you openly." The word reward here means render, to give what is due. But we have to remember that reward that the Father gives us openly or in plain view isn't for our benefit. We shouldn't be looking toward that reward. What that reward is, it's the fact that God gets the glory. That people will see that your service was the benefit of the Lord and accomplishments of the Lord. And the second one was to lay up yourselves treasures in heaven. We all know that whatever we have here, whatever is promised to us here, is not as good as what we're going to get when we go to join our Savior in heaven. So much more is promised to us, the promise of everlasting life. The point is, in our service to God, we shouldn't be looking for that pat on the back. We should be looking for God to be glorified and take pleasure in the fact. And Dead Works is highly concerned about the results, where godly services are free of the need to calculate results. Now, this is an important one. You know, all through my life, I took things apart and put them back together. If something broke, I fixed it. Replaced parts. And then I immediately got to see the results. I could see it run. I could see it operate again. And that's easy. That fulfills my job, the things that I did. It gave me contentment. But with church, it's not always that easy. The human side of me wants immediate results. I want things that I can see. But with God, sometimes the work that we're doing, we don't see the results immediately. It may take a long time, or we may never see them. Some of the times the results we get aren't the ones we desired. But we can take peace in the fact that God's in control. Maybe we were doing something in the wrong way and God's correcting us. Or maybe we just weren't focused on the right goal. It can be discouraged if we approach our spiritual work with a dead works attitude. I know in my life I was always in a rush. I wanted the immediate. I wanted to see things accomplished and move on. And that's one of the things I had to change in my service to the Lord. I had to be content to listen and do what He calls me to do and wait upon His answer or His results. Godly service puts everything in the scope of eternity. Romans 8:28 says, "And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose." So take joy in the things that we do, even if we don't see the results, because God is at work. Dead Work picks and chooses who to serve based on how it'll benefit itself. And godly service is indiscriminate in its ministry. And this is a tough one. Our worldly thoughts, we can look at a person and judge them whether they're worthy of our time, our attention, or even our money. But a godly view, godly service says everyone needs to be served. Everyone needs to be helped. Dead service says, how can I benefit from helping this person? Godly service says, how will that person benefit if you take the time? Imagine what kind of world it would be if we all had the vision of Christ as we looked at people. He washed the disciples' feet, and He died on the cross for our sins. No greater service could ever be done because we had nothing to give Him in return. Dead works is temporary, and godly service is a lifestyle. Like dead service, we're too focused on the things that are the here and now, what will benefit me at this moment in time. And I've known a lot of people that's lived their life like that. They go from one joyful moment to the other, and they're depressed in between those times. As they say, they live paycheck to paycheck. but they lived from emotional high to emotional high. Well, our godly service should level that out. Godly service says it doesn't matter what the here and now is. What matters is the future and what we can accomplish from God. It's walked out over an entire lifetime where we can reflect back on the hard times and grow, and we can joyfully thank God for the good times and praise Him. Dead works are based on tradition and conformity, and godly service looks for new ways to accomplish God's work. In a book called Called and Committed, The World-Changing Discipleship, David Watson said, "Christian work is constantly crippled by clinging to blessings and traditions of the past. God is not the God of yesterday. He is the God of today. Heaven forbid that we should go on playing religious games in one corner when the cloud and fire of God's presence have moved to another." We did a Bible study here many times called Experiencing God, and one of the lessons, one of the 7 points was, you look for where God's at work and you go and join Him. And too easy is we can fall back into, we've always done it that way, and we don't look to see where the smoke and the fire of God is at, where the need is, where we need to reach out. You know, I like tradition. I have a lot of things that we do in our families, but it can't cripple a church where we can't meet the needs of the people today. Godly service is always looking for ways to accomplish God's work with new opportunities, modern ways to get the word out. You know, I know a lot of you laugh at me when it comes to Twitter and texting and those kind of things, because I just don't get it. But there's younger people in this church that do get it. And maybe it's you that need to pick up the torch and pass the word in that way. My niece told me, I asked for her email address, and she said, "Uncle Mike, that's so yesterday." I didn't know email was yesterday. I still use it. But new opportunities, new ways to get the word out. Matter of fact, she's bound determined I get a Snapchat account, and I can't see me Snapchatting, but I suppose it has its place. The 1900s are nothing like the 2000s, and I'm the first to admit it. And I love new technology. I'm just not good at communicating in it. But God calls us as a church to put that in the past where it belongs. And I'm not saying stop doing everything that we used to do. I'm saying add to it. Look for the new opportunities. Look where we can reach out and make a difference. I was told that we live in a microwave society. Of course, that may be an old term now too. But everything has to be quicker, faster, and in sound bites. So God calls us to meet that need. That's the important thing, and that is to get the word out to where it'll do the most good. Our community is suffering right now. All communities are suffering. I imagine everyone in this room has been touched in one way or another by the drug problem that's going on. I grew up in the 60s. There was a huge drug problem then, but it's different now. And there has to be different ways to reach out to these people. We need to stop worrying about our Robert's Rules of Order and start worrying about God's rules of evangelism. And they have never changed. And that's to share the good news of Jesus Christ. And this church should be about people and relationships and not about traditions. Dead works fractures the community, where godly service builds up the community. Again, dead works is built on self-satisfaction and what I can do for myself. Godly works, godly service brings us into unity with the Father. In my message today, I was leading up to a question, and that's, where can I serve? I do not believe as you get older, you outgrow your service to God. Your service may change a little. It may lead you to a different ministry. But I truly believe in my heart, till the day you leave this earth, you're in service to God in some way or another. I went down and visited Ruth this week, and she's still confined to a bed and very sick. But you know, laying right next to her is her Bible and her list of prayers. And she prays multiple times every day for the people on her list and for this church and for the people. And that's her ministry now. Even though she's fed through a tube and she can't walk, she serves the Lord in prayer. This community is what holds us together in tough times. This should be where you turn when something's going wrong in your life, to draw strength from your Christian brothers and sisters. You know, I've had people tell me when they're missing church, they'll say, well, I can't come to church right now. I've got this problem. Well, they've got it backwards. They should be in church because they have that problem. There should be no judgment from any of their Christian brothers and sisters. And I say, if you judge them, shame on you. That's not what Christ calls us to do. So where can you serve? Are you going to lead a Sunday school class? Are you going to be one of those with their face to the coal, working in the background? It doesn't matter, because there's no small job. God has need of each and every one of us. I'm here today to enlist your support in God's army. You're in my prayers every day. But I want you to pray and ask God what he has for you to do. What position does he want you to hold? And you know, I believe in my heart that he'll reveal it to you if you come to him with your heart open. Ask forgiveness and he'll give it. Ask for guidance and he'll give it. Let's just take a moment and bow our heads and reflect on what God has to say to you.